This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We are continuing to track the fallout of surging energy prices. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Europe's energy crisis is a result of Russia's decision to use energy as a weapon. That is the accusation today from Finnish energy company Fortum Group, which today signed an agreement with the government for a $2 billion short-term loan to cover cash calls on trades it has in place to guarantee the price it will receive for power. That is on top of a reported more than $10 billion in support the country's government prepared over the weekend to support Finland's power industry after Russian energy giant Gazprom indefinitely suspended gas flows through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline to continental Europe. That supply crunch since the war in Ukraine began has caused energy prices to surge more than 300%. Households and businesses all across the region are dealing with the financial fallout now. Maz Murphy is a cheesemonger in Newcastle, a city in northeast England. She says rising energy prices are threatening to put her out of business.
It's impacted the amount that my customers can spend because we're all penny pinching where we are. So I've certainly seen my average customer spend decrease. But on top of that, my costs have increased massively. I deal with a lot of small producers who maybe can't reduce their costs because their business is dependent on electricity, you know, making cheese or making chutneys or what have you, or bakeries. So they're maybe producing less of their product, which means I can buy less, which means I can sell less. And at the same time, all of my personal costs for running the business have gone through the roof. When I first opened in October 2020, my monthly electric bill was about £300. And in 10 days, my electric bill will be £2,500. That's gone up 5 times in 2 years.
So what are you going to do about that? I mean, is there anything that you can do to try to solve that problem?
What I've done is I've created a GoFundMe, and a lot of people have donated £5 or £10 or £20. I've had a lot of customers come in and buy gift vouchers, so they're sort of spending now, but they'll use them at Christmas. I can't mitigate against my rising costs. My bills are going to be what they are. Ideally, what we really need is for government to step in.
What exactly would you like to see from government? What kinds of policies do you think they could put into place now and maybe keep in place for a while as you expect your costs to continue rising?
What I think would work, and I'm not a politician, I'm a cheesemonger, but I do think putting some form of renationalizing energy services so that it's under government control, so that the prices are controlled by government, which is how it used to be. It's really hard to see companies getting massive, massive profits and CEOs getting huge payouts. And here I am literally trying to decide if I can afford to open the shop for one day because of the amount that it will cost me.
Do you think you're going to be able to keep your shop open?
I really try to be optimistic, and it's been really, really tough. The idea of closing my doors permanently is genuinely heartbreaking. When I did my GoFundMe, I did a little video to tell people what it was about, and it took me about 15 tries to do it without actually bursting into tears. If I can get to Christmas, that's when cheesemongers make their money, and I'm hoping that that will see me through, and that otherwise, no, I don't think I'm going to make it to 2023.
Well, Liz Truss, who will today be formally appointed UK Prime Minister, is set to announce her multi-billion dollar plan to tackle rising energy prices on Thursday. EU energy ministers, meanwhile, gather on Friday. Ahead of that announcement from Liz Truss, the pound is hovering near 2-decade lows. Checking some other numbers, European benchmarks are up in the 0.2% to 0.6% range after notching significant declines in yesterday's session on worries about energy supplies. To Indonesia now, where the first price hike of fuel in 8 years has sparked protests. The government of Southeast Asia's largest economy put up the cost of subsidized fuel by 30% to tackle a ballooning energy budget. On Monday, trade unions called for action to protect farmers, fishermen, and the urban poor, as the BBC's Valdia Beriputri reports.
The protest against the fuel price hike took place on Tuesday in front of the Indonesian House of Representatives building here in Jakarta. The government raised fuel prices over the weekend, noting that the country's budget couldn't afford to provide more fuel subsidies. Some Indonesians say that they feel played because before the weekend, it looked like the government wouldn't raise prices, before then doing so without much notice. Experts say that the domino effect of the rising fuel prices in Indonesia includes higher food prices and the risk of mass layoffs in the industry sector. In Jakarta, I'm the BBC's Valdia Baraputri for Marketplace.
For nearly a decade, India has been skeptical of forging free trade agreements, but recently it's resumed bilateral talks with the European Union, it's in advanced negotiations with the UK, and it's already signed ambitious agreements with the UAE and Australia. The BBC's Nikhil Anamdar explores what's behind the newfound enthusiasm for partnership.
It's early morning in Western India's wine country. The bottling unit of Fratelli Wines slowly starts work for the day. Business is booming.
The life of our vineyards will be...
Gaurav Sekri, who co-founded this winery 15 years ago, says the company's been growing 30 to 40% over the last couple of years as Indians develop a taste for wine. But the winds of change are blowing. Here at Fratelli, the threat of global competition looms large as India fast-tracks free trade negotiations with countries like the UK and the European Union, which could reduce duties on imported goods like wines and spirits. For consumers, this will mean more choice. But local producers like Sekri say they will need help to compete with cheaper foreign products in the country.
I think we almost need a price advantage. We need that little motivation in terms of pricing for that consumer to try Indian origin wines.
Not everyone's unhappy though. Milaya Embroideries, which produces clothing for global fashion brands, are excited about the lower tariffs.
Right now, they're hit by a double whammy of tariffs, both while importing the raw material from Europe and also while exporting finished goods back to the continent.
Shashank Jain, Milaya's COO, says Indian apparel companies have also been losing business to countries like Vietnam after it entered into a free trade agreement with the European Union.
I think it's much cheaper for them to place orders with Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Vietnam because they don't have to pay duties or they have to pay a very minimal duty, whereas from India, the cost of duty only is around 9 to 16%.
There are both strategic as well as economic reasons for this renewed vigour about the trade deals. The West is looking to diversify supply chains beyond China and strengthen partnerships with other democracies amid a world in turmoil. For India, it's an opportunity hard to let slip. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anamdar for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.